broadcast listeners. This is the 27th of September. We see here, as I covered in the last hour, Rivers Group accepts poultry farms money. Companies sued by state donate $1.1 million. Then you see the International Rivers and Lakes, a newsletter prepared jointly by the Department for Economic and Social Affairs, United Nations, New York, and the Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, Santiago, Chile. And this is a gigantic piece of work, many pages. The newsletter is, it's dated June 2005, number 43. And they talk about the new publication on groundwater, international treaties, Spain and Portugal in water conflict. Hungary aims to end tug-of-war with Slovakia over Danube Dam by late 2005. Bosnia-Herzegovina preventing municipal pollution of transboundary rivers. Then you have the water sovereignty and NAFTA in Canada. You have the Jordan-Israeli-Palestinians agree on action to save drinking, or I'm sorry, save shrinking Dead Sea. Never is there a mention of any water desalinization plant created anywhere in the world utilizing the ocean for purposeful water uses for humans. Then you have water wars, a review of water scarcity and water conflict. Then you have officials say Mexico has paid half its water debt. Mexico has paid half its water debt. When anybody, any country with the money to do so can build water desalinization plants to utilize the ocean for purposeful purposes, for water utilization. It's insane. Sheldon, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
I just wanted to remind your audience, Mark McCandlish is on Coast to Coast AM tonight. He talks about scalar wave technology on weather modification.
Okay.
And you ever heard, you said you used to produce Anthony Hilder's show?
I did in late 95, early 96.
Yeah, I'm in touch with him once in a while. Would you consider bringing him on as a guest on your show ever?
Probably. Documentation is very important.
Yeah, because
documentation is very important. That's the point.
Okay, yeah, because he's got some information on that weather warfare stuff too. So.
Uh huh.
That's all I had. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, thanks, Sheldon. Dennis the Menace, welcome to the broadcast. Where are you, Dennis?
I'm right here. Where are you?
I'm here now. We have situations that are very, very ominous in our country at this point in time. You chronicle it on the website so fast that I can't keep up with it. And that's why we're happy to bring Dennis up, listeners. Incredible stuff that he's doing at this point in time. We're going to continue with him. Hopefully we'll have Darren with us as well to bring about the reality of what's going on at AmericanExpose.com. Stay with us. Broadcast listeners, this is American Exposé, the second hour on RBN. Support the directions that the network proposes with the sponsors. The Big Berkey people, or actually the Berkey Light, is available for you with a free sports bottle. The commercial that you're going to hear will have the wrong phone number. The correct phone number for the Berkey Light is 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200. Keep in mind, you purchase a Berkey Light to support this broadcast, you be sure to mention my name, and it goes in support of the shortwave that is coming on October 3rd, 11/9/20. This is the point. If you don't support it, this broadcast won't be there.
and that's just the way it is. I can't afford to pay to educate you listeners any longer. Dennis, you've done tremendous work over a period of months now, and we just can't keep up with you. And so we brought you on today, and we you know, as I talked to you last night, I was going to cover Operation Ophelia. Didn't even get there today.
Yeah, you haven't.
Huh?
Not yet, you haven't.
No, I haven't. And where are you thinking the priority is on our website at this point?
Oh. Well, that's a tough one. I really couldn't tell you. I mean, it's a little bit of everything all together because it all leads to the same point.
And when we
I think that's what I'm trying to display. That's my intention anyway. I think that's where I'm being guided to.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I feel that this is definitely a calling.
Now, you mentioned on September 11, 2001, FEMA came out with a press release stating there were three events that could cripple our country. That's September 11th, listeners, 2001. And there was a terrorist attack on New York that happened the next day. And then a massive hurricane hitting New Orleans, and certainly that article from Popular Mechanics from September 11, 2001, talking about New Orleans' sinking is very relevant to what happened. And then you have the third event, a major earthquake on the West Coast. So here you have these directions that are being promoted, and then they happen.
Mm-hmm.
How remarkable is that?
And now you notice in some of today's stuff that I have on there under the headline part, that we have hurricanes happening all, or not hurricanes, but earthquakes happening all over the place. You get down around, let's see, there was one in the Mojave Desert. There was one in New Brunswick. There was one in Maine. They're all over the place. So it looks to me as though we're getting ready for the next phase of this thing.
Yeah, could very well be. And there's something of a mention of an earthquake in the paper as well. I'll try and find that as we go through the show here.
And here we have the World Health Organization out of the Herald Sun telling us that 100 million could die from a bird epidemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And here we say from Maine, a minor earthquake shook a small region in northern Maine, officials said, and this is dated September 26th. So that was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We have these situations that are being created for us, and understanding that there is a population reduction agenda, it's obvious to those of us that do the research. And then we have foreign troops in America as a result of these this catastrophe, this latest massive hurricane hitting New Orleans and then Louisiana and Texas now. So we have these situations that are very, very set up for us as we look at it, because we do research.
Yeah, and what are these troops going to be used for? I mean, why are they here?
why are they here?
There's not much for them to do right now where they're at, because pretty much everything that they're trying to, pretty much where they're at, it's all been devastated.
So here we see that President Bush said that he and Congress should begin discussing whether to amend federal law so the military could take responsibility right away in natural disasters.
Yes.
Dated today, the 27th.
Mm-hmm. That's the one of the times, yeah.
There you go, for the New York Times.
Yeah.
Broadening the military powers in the states.
Yeah.
And the National Guard in various states, and many states, if not all states, have been sent to Iraq, which is totally unconstitutional,
mm-hmm.
or against the craw of the American people, to the point where, yes, now we have to have foreign troops in America, and it's a UN thing. And there's where it is, listeners. That's what it is. The UN system in charge. So we see much going on, much information that you've thrown out here at us, and the...
I find it rather interesting, too, now that... the so-called legitimate press is starting to come clean on the fact that some of the stuff as far as the violence and stuff that they reported in the beginning, they're now saying were exaggerated.
And why do you, and yet there's one, well, actually, 2.3 million people have evacuated. Let's consider the fact that 1.3 million have already come back. Where are all the rest of them?
Yeah, where are the rest of them? That's the question. Where are all the rest of them? Because we know that many weren't transported out of there as evacuees. I think the number was like 100,000, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So that leaves an awful lot to be accounted for, and nobody's talking about it.
This gives the ability for the government to say, well, everybody needs to be chipped so they can all be monitored.
Well, we'll have to find you somehow.
This is the way it looks to me as the beat goes on. Here we see from the Herald Sun, a worldwide pandemic of mutated bird flu virus could kill up to 100 million people, according to worst-case scenarios being studied by the World Health Organization, of which you mentioned a few moments ago. And with WHO officials warning, it's a case of when, not if, the virus goes worldwide. The race is on to work out how to contain a pandemic. Well, once again, you have AIDS, which many have researched to the point where Dr. Eva Sneed wrote a book. Some call it AIDS. I call it murder. Is that a created disease and a design to decimate Africa? And you connect to Henry Kissinger's National Security Study Memorandum 200 from 1974. Connect that dot, and then you go back to this article. A strain of bird flu known as H5N1 has killed at least 63 people in Southeast Asia since resurfacing in 2003, most of them in Vietnam, they say. Well, isn't that interesting, as you've chronicled on the website, that Vietnamese boat people arrive in L.A.?
Yep, today.
Today.
Today, after 16 years.
And many of those people might be from the Hmong community who finally succumbed this year to communism. It could very well be those people that have escaped the peril of communism over there. So here is the, for 16 years, 229 Vietnamese refugees lived in the Philippines without permanent residency status for legal rights. So I'm wrong on that one. But their long journey to a new home ended when they arrived in the United States on a chartered flight. Everybody comes here, and what does that do to us but dilute our constitutional republic, which is now declared a democracy? So this is the last outpost for refugees. Everyone wants to come here because all the other countries are decimated in many respects. So the beat goes on, doesn't it, Dennis?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
What else do you see that's paramount for the listeners to connect dots to?
Well, now let's see. Now they're starting the thing up again. Now, well, especially if you're from the Midwest, somewhere around here, we now have the invasive mosquito species.
Okay.
I think that's rather interesting that all of a sudden we have West Nile back. So, and it's this thing's coming right out of St. Louis. So, right in the heart of the country, we have an invasive mosquito.
That is remarkable.
So, what do we do about that?
That's pretty remarkable.
And let's see here. It says that it's the Tyson Research Center from Eureka, Missouri. So I guess we're going to have to, I don't know what we're going to have to do. Since it's invasive, I mean, that kind of puts us under part of the Gen 21, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And in the meantime, we have members of Congressional Caucus on India and Indian Americans for the 107th Congress. As of May 2001, where they've been outsourcing jobs to India, and our members of Congress are encouraging it. So what are we seeing? But jobs being exported, endangered species being imported,
invasive species being imported. It's an obvious scenario that's being directed at us. And this is the problem with most Americans. They don't see that we're in a war right now, even though they haven't done the research to understand Agenda 21 or weather modification.
Yes, and we're definitely in a war. There's no doubt about that. We're fighting this thing every day.
If you want to converse with Dennis, my friend, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443 is the number. We have much to cover. Outcry against outsourcing temporary, says the U.S. diplomat from the India Times. We'll be back to continue. Welcome back to the broadcast. We have Dennis Domenech with us, and you are connecting a dot on our website. I go to this, dated March 5th, listeners, as we do have callers. March 5th of 2004, former First Lady Hillary Clinton on Wednesday defended the general principles of free trade and outsourcing while rejecting suggestions that she was allowing Indian infotech major Tata Consultancy Services, TCS, to take away jobs from the state that elected her to the Senate. The New York senator was ambushed by CNN's Lou Dobbs on his show, a daily outlet for anti-free trade rants, with questions about a TCS center she opened last year in Buffalo in upstate New York, despite the company's reputation as an outsourcer. "But of course I know they outsource," end quote, Clinton retorted. Quote, "but they have also brought jobs, and they intend to be a source of new jobs in the state," end quote. So what do? They bring the Indians to America. "Outsourcing works both ways," she told Dobbs in his consultancy of anti-free traders who tried to corner her on the issue. While not minimizing the problems of job flight, she said free trade also provided opportunities for the U.S. to attract jobs from around the world if they got the domestic diagnosis right. Sounds like Clinton newspeak to me. And there you have the problem of the U.N. system being promoted by Hillary Clinton, a third-way communitarian, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I'm curious. Can we outsource her job?
Wouldn't it be nice? Outsource her job to communist China.
Sure, why not?
She went to the Beijing conference in 1995. She says we have to model our country after communist China.
Well, I've heard they have a home in China.
It could very well be.
I've heard that her and the Bush family both have fabulous mansions in China.
Well,
I can't find anything on it, but I have heard that.
Well, it only makes sense that they would coddle the leaders of our country as they topple it.
They're going to have to live somewhere.
And are they going to be comfortable when it's all totalitarian in the future? That's a question to be dissected when the time happens.
Now, there again, you know, I come across the piece that Marie Strong is now surfaced in China.
Yeah, and Marie Strong is from Canada.
Yeah. And let's see. I think it from the way it sounded, he's trying to sell one of his pieces of property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Lost Lake Buckhorn, Ontario property has been up for sale. He hasn't had a buyer yet.
Uh-huh.
So that's apparently he's trying to make a move.
Apparently so. Let's see what we have in the way of a caller. Troy in New York, let's bring Troy up. How are you today, Troy?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to try to connect a couple of dots here about FEMA and Brownie.
Please.
Now, this guy had no experience, and so he had no experience whatsoever. And he was chosen because he was, they said, because he was an old friend of Bush's from college. I'm assuming Haven, Yale, and I'm assuming he was not skull and bones, but I don't know that for a fact.
Uh-huh.
take the Christian position and assume he's entirely innocent. Now, he's assigned to a position where he knows nothing. Why? This is because he's not going to be making any decisions. This is because the careerists are going to be making the decisions for them. So he's going to be a scapegoat. He's going to be a figurehead. So here's what happens, and I know this is real because I saw this even on broadcast TV.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA was preventing third-party, independent rescuers from coming into the area.
Yes.
They set up like a cordon, like roadblocks. I know this is true because even on broadcast TV, cops from various places, sheriffs, people from various places, they come down in cars or together, and FEMA wants two or three sets of IDs. And these cops are shaking their heads. They don't have that much. So they're blocking supplies. They're blocking cops from coming in. Also, I heard of one sheriff where they took his gas. They took away his gasoline.
Uh-huh.
And they shut down his broadcast tower. So he sent his deputies out to get his gas back. So my point is that FEMA sabotaged the rescue effort. These are wolves disguised as protective shepherds. Why did they do this? I think the answer was recently given by Bush, where he said, well, from this was such a mess, from now on I'm just going to send in the federal troops. From now on I'm just going to send in the army, and it'll be taken care of the right way. In other words, they create a problem in order to justify the solution they want. But, of course, it's not really a solution. It's just, again, false wolves pretending to be shepherds. And so this guy Brownie, assuming he was totally innocent, was just a scapegoat who was set up. I mean, he didn't make these decisions. I'm sure he didn't make these decisions. These were made by Chertoff and the president. Chertoff is the head of Homeland Security. What race and religion is he anyway? And is that impolite to ask? So the point is, this guy Brownie is probably a scapegoat, or either that or he's part of this conspiracy, and the point being to create a problem and then to justify the solution that the federales want, which is to send in federal troops to end posse comitatus, which means power of the county.
Uh-huh. Now let's continue with this on the other side and bring up Dennis, because he's done some research on this. G. Edward Griffin has as well.
That's right.
To connect dots to what FEMA is really about. We just didn't realize that FEMA was gobbled up by Homeland Security, but yet what is that all about? And we'll continue on the other side. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. The number for the Berkey Lights, 877-605-9200, 877-605-9200. On the first hour, some of the information I covered came from the Anti-Communitarian League, and then regarding other areas, Habitat Day, October 3rd, and the Coast Guard being melded into Homeland Security comes from unattractive.com. It's on our website. Here we see a new bipartisan group called Friends of India has been formed in the U.S. Senate on the lines of the decade-old Congressional Caucus of India and the Indian Americans in the House of Representatives. About 20 senators have signed up for the new caucus, the first country-specific body in the Senate. It will be led by Texas Senator John Cronin and co-chaired by New York's Hillary Clinton. And Senate Majority Leader and Tennessee Republican Bill Frist and Minority Leader and South Dakota Democrat Thomas Daschle will also be members of the group. The Senate caucus addresses the longstanding feeling among community activists that while India lobbied effectively in the House side, it lacked punch in the Senate, where lawmakers have often been uncaring or unappraised about India's concerns. And the India caucus in the House has nearly 150 members, and what are they doing? But the UN system intermingling the jobs between us and India and mostly outsourcing to India for a lesser price. Now back to Homeland Security and FEMA. The FEMA picture, Dennis, that Troy was talking about. Do you have any response to that?
I think a lot of people have, you know, just listening to the everyday news, the idea that FEMA messed up. FEMA did its job. If you go to the article that we have on there from G. Edward Griffin, in the last line of his article from September 21st, it says, "It was clear from the start that the goal of FEMA and Homeland Security was not to rescue people, but to control them. Their directive was to relocate families and businesses, confiscate property, commandeer goods, direct labor, and services, and to establish martial law. This is what they have been trained to do.
And Troy, does that work for you?
And also, Jack McLam listed many more specifics than I can recall, but the point is they set up roadblocks and kept helpers from coming in and even sabotaged locals from doing their rescue efforts. I mentioned the sheriff and stuff. So it seems to me, and then they turned around and they blamed everything on Brownie, but Brownie didn't make the decisions because Brownie was not a careerist who knew nothing about the business. So he was evidently hired to be a scapegoat and a figurehead by people who knew exactly what they were going to do, that they were going to create a problem, and therefore they were going to blame this guy as the cause of the problem when he had nothing to do with it except be the fool to be the scapegoat. That's how it looks like to me. And so by Bush saying, well, this was such a mess, from now on I'm just going to send in the army, I'm just going to declare martial law, this to me seems to be the solution which was planned all along.
But there you go.
Can you say order out of chaos?
But, of course, it's not really a solution. It's a greater problem. After the Civil War, when the Federales were running all over the place, not just in the South but in all the other states, in 1876 they said, you know what? Let's put an end to this, led by Southern senators and congressmen, but everyone pretty much agreed. The Posse Comitatus, 1876, it means power of the county, where the sheriff and his deputies are the only legitimate army within the county. And as a last bit, for those who were looking for a solution to this, which maybe sometime if there's time I could present, go to thehouseoftroy.com. TheHouseOfTroy.com, where there's a downloadable PDF detailed solution to the problem, which is local sovereignty, which is our only hope, because the feds, they want to take over, just like they did after the Civil War, and I hope they don't. So thank you for letting me talk.
I appreciate that information. HouseOfTroy.com. Thank you, Troy. I believe we have Vicki in Idaho. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Hi, Vicki.
Hello, Vicki.
Hi, Chris. I wanted to tell you and tell everybody that there is a really great unauthorized biography of George Herbert Walker Bush on Webster Tarpley's website. And that website address is www.tarpley.net. And that's T-A-R-P-L-A-Y. Or P-L-E-Y.
P-L-E-Y.
Yeah.
TARPLEY.net?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it tells about Bush being in Beijing, and he requested to go over there and to represent the United States, not as an ambassador, because we didn't have relations with China then, diplomatic relations, but he wanted to go over there and set up connections.
Now you're talking about George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And everything that's happened, you know, basically leading up to what I think is a coup d'etat on our government has been step-by-step positioning. And if you follow the actions of George Herbert Walker Bush on forward and look at the things that he did, you can see the positioning step-by-step of setting things up for a coup d'etat. And that includes Clinton's administration, because Clinton and Bush Sr. are partners in this coup d'etat of our country.
Dennis, any thoughts?
Well, other than agreeing with everything she just said.
Here we see for those still planning to pursue a career in the U.S., mm-hmm. Here's a word of caution. The kind of jobs that used to be available in the land of opportunity a couple of years ago are scarce now. Things have changed.
Yeah. Well, the whole redesign of the high schools that the National Governors Association is promoting, what all that is about is turning our schools into vocational schools, because there aren't going to be any knowledge jobs in this country to speak of. And the knowledge jobs that there are going to go to the selected young people that were selected for the International Baccalaureate Program, which is, of course, the UN. Part of the UN system. And they will be the privileged young people who go to these schools, and they will receive the jobs that are the knowledge jobs. Everybody else will be channeled into vocational training. So, well, you know, we ought to do some one day, or what you ought to do someday is to have a round table so that we can lay out all of these areas where they've been positioning for the UN system, and the, including the coup d'etat on our government that set it all up.
That would be logical.
Yeah, because it's so huge, it's so big that the only way you could do it is to you know, hit on each one of them so that people get the whole overview of how this is all happening.
I see, dated March 21st of 2003, the U.S. facing a severe shortage of nurses has taken measures to make it easier for a larger number of Indian and foreign nurses to work in the country. In its most recent effort, the Commission on Graduates of Foreign Nursing Schools, it's actually called the CGFNS, the Commission on Graduates of Foreign Nursing Schools, has increased the English testing options for foreign workers. For foreign nurses to work in the U.S., they are required by the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act of 1996 to establish proficiency in the English language. Without passing the test for proficiency in English, foreign healthcare workers cannot apply for the CGFNS certification program or for a visa credential assessment program. Well, there's plenty of foreign nurses in hospitals throughout the country that speak fluent English now, and yet our nurses from our country maybe don't have a job any longer.
That's right. That's happening, too. I've was involved in outsourcing, and I heard a nurse down in Texas talk about how all the American nurses are getting laid off and replaced by imported cheaper nurses. The same thing that happened to software technicians, the same thing that happened to engineers, the same thing that's happening to teachers. I mean, you know, you just name a profession, and the American people are being replaced by foreigners. And this was all planned.
And there you have it. There you have it. We have this catastrophe, this natural disaster, quote unquote, and here we have 2.3 million people having to evacuate down there. The building of sustainable communities will come into place. And here we see Bill and Melissa Gates set up a foundation to redesign America's schools while Microsoft exports their knowledge, jobs, information that, you've spent a few years learning about outsourcing to get this information to me, haven't you, Vicki?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I was a computer programmer, systems analyst. And after the year 2000, all of a sudden, I couldn't get any responses to my resumes. And that had never happened to me in my full 20-year career of being a contractor. And even the recruiters that I talked to, they had no idea what was going on either. You know, I just send out resumes to all these online services, and I was willing to go anywhere to work, you know, so I wasn't tied down to one area, but I couldn't get any responses. And it was bizarre. You know, and what other professionals and I thought was that probably all of the IT budgets were exhausted, you know, because of the Y2K programming. But
a lot of those programmers were foreigners too.
Yeah, they were. Well, what we didn't know at the time was that a lot of that work was outsourced to India.
Uh-huh. A lot of it was.
And it was done surreptitiously too. Because we had sanctions on India because of their nuclear testing.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
As I see here, dated November 24th of 2003, India and the United States are set up to sign a breakthrough agreement on sharing classified military research data. According to sources on both sides, the Master Information Exchange Agreement would mark the beginning of a new phase that would be far-reaching in bilateral defense relations. Amazing.
Well, that's rather ominous, too, because you have India that's just signed a contract with China and Russia.
Yeah, and India was not our ally. They were selling arms to Iraq. And they were also dealing with Iran. So there's something really, really bad.
And of course, during the Iran-Iraq war, we supported Iraq.
Yeah. Well, this was when India was selling arms to Iraq was during the 90s. You know, when we had sanctions on them, on India, because of their nuclear testing, I mean, they were the ones that were selling weapons to Saddam.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, it's
not pleasant, is it?
Oh, it's just, it's unbelievable. You know, it's just, it's unbelievable that this is all happening in our country. And it takes really heads down research to, and I've been doing this probably for about 3 years, heads down after I found out about outsourcing and being a computer professional. I knew what the national security implications were of exporting all of those systems, because our country is so dependent on computer systems. If you cut the channel, you know, between the suppliers and the distributors, we're dead. We're just dead in the water.
Now here I see, dated October 20th of 2003, the outsourcing phenomenon that has rocked the U.S. and the U.K., with thousands of jobs moving out to low-cost nations like India and prompted big growth in Indian call centers, will soon extend to higher-paid white-collar jobs as well, according to management consultants in the West. White-collar jobs as well.
Well, it already is. I mean, they kept trying to say that it was just call center jobs for a long time. But it's research and development. It's a high end. And it's happening in all the Western countries. Great Britain, Australia, the United States, we're all losing jobs to India and China.
And isn't this the global economy at work, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's part of the reason why Maurice Strong is in China right now.
And isn't this the U.N. system in play?
Absolutely.
Ricky?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's if they drain our economy, if they make the American people impoverished, and they take away the white-collar, the knowledge jobs, and they redesign our schools to where the children coming up now are raised up to be blue-collar workers, vocational workers, with approximately an eighth-grade education and some kind of certificate in some kind of vocation like cosmetology, then they won't even know what the meaning of freedom is. They won't have any idea about our Constitution and the principles that this country was founded on. They will just simply not know.
And that fits into the document which can't be proved, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Well, it's just like the report from Iron Mountain. You can't prove the report from Iron Mountain. However, the implementation of the dictates from Iron Mountain are well underway, as Sid Tolbert chronicled that on his recording in 1997, and that was done for me, and it's on our website, the report from Iron Mountain. So connecting these dots is not difficult today.
Huh. All of the people that are leading this have all come out of the information, the computer information technology arena. Even the lady that they just announced was in charge of the Coast Guard, she came out of the information technology arena. And the reason why is because it's with computer technology that global control is possible. And the military has always been, right from the beginning, very involved with computer technology. And so, you know, you put those two things together that even General Myers, you know, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He came out of the information technology arena. General Ralph Eberhardt, who was the commander of NORAD, he came out of the information technology arena.
Okay, let's continue on the other side here as we wrap up this broadcast. Many bases covered today, listeners. You need to get the recording and pass it on and support RBN Live and the Republic Trading Post. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast, people. Keep in mind, on UN Habitat Day, October 3rd, WWRB 11920 will be the shortwave station. WWRB 11920, October 3rd, UN Habitat Day. Here is the date of January 31st, 2004. The offshoring trend has taken another surprising turn, having successfully outsourced to India such back office functions as IT, investment banks now sending some of their financial analysts and research overseas. In recent months, firms including J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley have quietly hired Indian firms or set up their own subsidiaries in India to handle basic financial modeling and comparable analysis. All this outsourcing information comes from Vicky, who's obviously pretty distressed like the rest of us about how our country's turned. Dennis, as you've done your research, Vicky's done hers, and it makes my job so much easier. I thank you both.
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever I can do.
Yeah. Well, I get really riled up when we start talking about outsourcing, because technology and knowledge jobs were the future for our country. And without those jobs, and I don't know what we're going to do now, but I worry about the future for the children of America.
Well, let's just hit it on the head. Aren't we in a quiet war right now, and haven't we been?
We have been for a
long time. Absolutely.
A quiet war.
There are those that will say that Y2K was all about that.
Well, it was.
It was about wiring the world for the financial institution so they could do just exactly what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you read what has been written by a man named Art Sabrowski. He was an admiral for the Office of Force Transformation. And Thomas Barnett, they talk about net-centric warfare. And everything he's written is about using computer technology as a means of warfare. And they've crushed our economy with it. At Y2K, at the rollover of the millennium, it was the most vulnerable our country had ever been in its history. And I do believe that that's when the coup d'etat occurred. They took advantage of it.
I believe that, too. I don't see any reason not to believe it at this stage, the way things are planned out so well. And the American people don't know what's been going on because the major press doesn't cover any of this. That's why this is so vital here.
Yes.
I believe it was Joan Vian who said that she was in on some of those meetings at some of those financial institutions and during Y2K, and she realized then that they were in on the scheme because they weren't worried about it.
Yeah. Well, And they've been looting the U.S. Treasury. On September 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld testified to Congress that over $2.3 trillion was missing out of the DOD accounts. And it was $1.1 trillion for the year 1999, and then $2.1 trillion for 2000. And coincidentally, September 10th is when he testified about it.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Connecting the dots with Dennis and Vicky today, and information from the Anti-Communitarian League and Unattractive for the last 2 hours, listeners. Great information from all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
We'll continue tomorrow, God willing. Good afternoon. I'm